Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts this evening. Here is Rob Oso Normal.
That might be it. I don't know. The Oso Normal, Super Normal. I don't know, but I don't know if I think I'm not that normal.
It was pretty cool on the fly, though. You weren't expecting it.
It was. I like it because I think I am normal, but, like, I have other things that are my 100%, like, issues. So, like, you can come up with other things to say. It might be normal, but I'm also this or that. You know, like, I have definitive things that define me as a person.
Yes.
Like, not so funny.
Like Rob with the white
thinks
shoes.
He's funny. Rob with the white shoes. I'm not sure that's... It's like Sheila Jackson.
You have, like, bright white shoes. It's like, boom. Boom.
Well, my response to that is I grew up in South Florida. And I guess that's, like, bright white shoes.
Apparently
and bright colors. It is a
white, bright white shoeville.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. Because
yeah, we found that out.
That
you were talking to one of my
coworkers.
Right.
And he didn't say anything. He didn't know we had this, like, ongoing thing about me wearing, like, bright white shoes and making sure I always have, like, new white shoes. And I got out of the car, and he looked at me and said, oh, my God, those are amazing. Those are, like, the amazing whitest shoes I've ever seen. I love them. And he's from the same area I'm from. So it's geographical.
It's kind of like that EVP thing where I was, like, you know, sending out the EVP files, and it just so happens two people who grew up in the same area heard the same thing, just like the favoritism of certain colors of shoes, perhaps. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Makes me think. Wonder what else there's, like about that.
We'll have to...
Maybe I can get a governmentally funded study.
No, lately I've said this, and I can't remember if I said it on air or not, but I've been picking up your the way you say things, and I've noticed that lately.
Well, that's what people do when they're around each other.
Yeah,
but when
I know that.
People are around each other, like they do that, so that's like...
Yeah, but, like, why couldn't you pick up my accent? Why did I have to pick up yours? You know, like, I said, sure. Again today, and I said it the way you said it. You weren't even, like, we weren't around each other today, and I was like, oh my God, like, I'm starting to pick up her accent, and this is like, I thought, like, as you were, like, young, you're kind of, it's like when you pick up accents, but apparently I'm just still young. Maybe that's the point. Maybe I didn't know that.
No, maybe you're just trusting that, you know, mental break.
I'm still
like Britney Spears,
I'm still
you know,
mentally young.
Like she woke up, like, the one day and decided to, like, she was, like, British or whatever and decided to shave her head, and then suddenly she snapped out of it. Yeah. Maybe you're on the cusp of a mental break.
Or we agree that I'm, like, a five-year-old, and a five-year-old will probably be influenced by their surroundings with their speech. So maybe that's my mental capacity is of a five-year-old, and it's all just coming to fruition, which I wouldn't know what fruition means because I'm more than five.
Right, you're only five. Big word for a five-year-old.
I've heard people say it before, but I don't understand the meaning of it.
That's where you're just going to throw it out there in times where it's so not fitting, and it'll be like, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. When in Rome. People say that, right?
True.
When in Rome. Yes.
Okay. Well,
so tonight's gonna be
all,
like,
I guess
awkward catch. Awkward.
Well, gosh knows,
you've got it. Yeah, so we'll be good. But we came off a couple big investigations, and one, like, investigation that happened on a fly that we were actually meant to go to one place. We decided against it and just investigated about 25 feet from where we were. And I think we had a really good investigation. I've reviewed more of the evidence.
I think so, too.
And I was, you know, when you say pleasantly surprised, like that would be like a general understatement for what my expectations
were. You were friggin' shocked. Were you friggin' shocked?
I was. Like if you were to take like and go into something with like zero expectations and say, oh, you know, I've got no expectations for this, that would be like me saying, like that would be like high up on how I really felt, you know, about doing it. You know, but we kind of went in for the purpose of trying to grow our social media account. And, you know, I had a good grasp on what could make, you know, for good video. And so we were going more with that mindset. And it turned out we actually captured, like, a ton of evidence and a ton of, like, really good evidence. And I'm not just, like, not just saying that because it's us. Because I'm the first one to say, no, that was stupid. No, we didn't capture anything and then throw stuff away. But it was one of those where I have more clips to even show you is, you know, like when we were calling out what we thought we heard, it's indeed what we heard, which is always valuable. And on top of it, it was crystal clear. Yeah, and
awesome.
Super intelligent. So, you know, what I've come across the last day or two is, you know, running the spirit box and the words that are being manipulated or used, or can you just outright hear them? And trying to figure out the best way to describe it, you know, especially if we continue to do it that way, we'll probably have to tell people what we're doing and why we're doing it. And the one thing that I found, we always talk about responsible ghost boxing, which is kind of just, that's my word that I use, and it's kind of stupid. And you know me, I like stupid. So, yeah, responsible ghost boxing. You know, we traditionally do not let the ghost box lead us. And that was the cool part about, you know, this material that we captured just a couple of days ago, is that they were intelligent responses. And I believe their response is that if people were to say, you know, well, if that was on the radio, I just don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, you have, number one, the timing of it. And number two, like, some of the answers and the way they're answered in full sentences leads me to believe it's 100% intelligent communication with something that, you know, is beyond our understanding. So.
Yeah, but I would have to agree because, like, some of those responses are not something that would be a commercial, okay? Trust me. And it wouldn't be on, like, on AM station because we were running AM. There's no way.
And the one thing that I factor in, too, is the length of time in which you get the response. Obviously, if you ask the question and then, like, 45 minutes later you get an answer that's pertaining to the question, it's probably not relevant. But these are like instant answers. You know, believe we were talking to a soldier, and I had asked, what was your rank? And I believe it was probably, I think that might have been even a question that came through from one of the viewers. And within like a second or two, the answer was a corporal. You know, so that's obviously intelligent because we're asking what your rank was. They gave us a rank.
Right.
You know, but would that necessarily be on the radio? I would say no, especially, number one, on the radio. Number two, the timing of within 1 second. You know, I don't know what the odds are of that happening, but I'm going to say it's near impossible.
Yeah. Statistically speaking,
you know,
that would be highly unlikely.
You pick up words using the spirit box, you know, that are probably radio, especially when it says you're listening to the radio. You know, listen to the station. That would
be,
you know,
they're rounding third. Right.
Yeah.
You know,
and, you know, so-and-so hit a, you know, a home run today or whatever. I don't think that's, you know, paranormal. You know, but we do sometimes hear random words that sound like off, of what, you know, we've been picking up, or a different voice. And we do ask questions based on that word. And then if it takes it somewhere else, then, you know, possibly, but we don't always let them, mm-hmm. the grouping of words lead us into our storyline.
Right. Into an, yeah, to an assumption, like a little plot. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but obviously if we hear mm-hmm. a word, you know, we hear food coming through, like I think we kept hearing chocolate. And then we say, you know, are you hungry? Or ask relevant words to what's your favorite food? Mm-hmm. You know, and I had did that the week before. And mm-hmm. then I started getting more foods, you know, so it was pretty mm-hmm. interesting. So it's a lot of this mm-hmm. is making for good clips on social media. And believe it or not, within the last, like, I think I looked in our, we, in our last three big trips, which is over the last mm-hmm. 4 weeks, we have, like, three mm-hmm. single videos, and between those three videos, we're right at 1 million views in those three videos. And I think that's pretty cool, because we've done years and years of investigating, and to have some of mm-hmm. our just quick-hitting clips, you know, three of them reach 1 million between the mm-hmm. – that's adding the three together currently. Who knows what's going to happen mm-hmm. tonight, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, it's kind of – it gets a sense of being rewarding.
Yeah.
So, talking about our last, you know, big trips and over the past, like, month or so, I know our guest tonight has tried to call us. We tried to call him. We just haven't been able mm-hmm. to connect over the last, like, probably month or so. And, you know, we have a lot to talk to mm-hmm. about him and some cool things that I think he would enjoy hearing. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. our friend Harvey. So I think we should bring him on.
Yes, always good to
unless he left.
Yep. No, he's still here, I think. Let's find out.
Okay. Let's find out, yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Harvey. Hi.
Hi. Yes, it's been a while.
How's it going?
It's going
It has. It seems like every time we've tried to, you know, have you on or call you or you called us, it's just not
just two shifts faster than the night. Yeah.
True that.
Yeah, I'd like to thank T-Mobile Sprint for my wonderful cell phone coverage in the city of Gettysburg and the surrounding areas. You know, right on point. Major thumbs up to T-Mobile and Sprint, which, you know, it surprised me. Here's the kicker. So I'm driving around on Friday. Nikki's at work. I have a bunch of downtime. And you know what they have right across the street from the place is a T-Mobile store. You know, so it's just, it blew my mind that they actually have a store set there, but then not what I would call adequate coverage. That, you know, it's like, I don't get it. Like, I would have thought that's the last cell phone store that I would have seen was Sprint T-Mobile. And, you know, they have, like, a standstill. Mm-hmm. It looked like it was functioning. The lights were on. Yeah, they, like, that corny pink fluorescent lights and stuff, you know, so... Sorry, usually I don't like, mm-hmm. you know, talk bad about places and things, but you know, it's funny
well,
for sure you're trying to go live. Yeah. That was my unplug for, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing worse than going to an investigation. We're like, hey, we're going to call Harvey tonight, or hey, we're going to go live. And you look at your phone or your device and you're like, we're not going to call Harvey. We're not going to go live.
Just kidding.
You know, so.
We're not going to be able to do anything except for search for service.
Right,
exactly.
That's funny.
But one cool thing, Harvey, and we wanted to actually, I was thinking of giving you a call, but it's just, and then I thought the more aggravation, just for the fact of our service, and I know we had missed your call, I think, earlier in that day, so maybe you were sensing we were investigating, but we went outside our norm on, was that Friday or was that Thursday? I think it was Friday. So Friday night, we ended up streaming live outdoors from a camp in Gettysburg.
Wow.
And, you know, we don't traditionally stream outdoors or do any outdoor investigating.
Right.
But,
right.
you know, being the fact that you're almost, you know, essentially at part of, you know, where the battle took place and essentially the battlefield, it was a little bit more interesting. Obviously, we encountered a raccoon. We encountered a rabbit. and that's always fun, especially when I was like, hey, look, there's a rabbit at your feet. And the young lady that was with us was like, oh my God, and freaked out.
But poor rabbit.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, we got some stuff that came through our spirit box that was undeniable paranormal intelligent activity. So was very fruitful.
Can I ask you a question? Were you camping?
No.
You said camping. Were you camping at the KOA there, just to the northeast of Edinburgh?
No, we were actually in a camp. We weren't actually camping.
Okay.
So,
you were in a camp that was a camp for the soldiers.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. What part of the battlefield?
And, so it was actually like right behind the Farnsworth. They have Camp Farnsworth there. So we were supposed to go.
Yeah, during the time
else.
Of the battle, it would have been called Snyder's Meadow.
Got you. Which got overran the first day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Confederates, you know, were pushing, you know, General Jubal Early and Heath's division, and you know, shortly after, you know, the battle at the Lutheran Seminary, you know, when it all started, you know, when General Reynolds was killed, you know, the first high ranking, mm-hmm. you know, officer killed in the Civil War. Anyway, you know, on that day, anyways, so that particular area. You know, the campground was a Union campground, and it was kind of funny because, correct me if I'm wrong, because you guys will know better than me, but it was large, but it was, well, if it's the same field, because, you know, there's all kinds of pictures, you know, of Gettysburg during that time before the battle and after the battle. Mm-hmm. The meadow that you're talking about, it's long and narrow, correct? You know, the how big the field was.
Yeah, in comparison.
Yeah, and it probably would have been because the creek runs along the, I'm trying to think what side that where we were compared to where the creek would be. The creek runs east and west.
Right. So you got to remember. The Union had been there because, you know, they had a garrison, you know, there was a garrison already, you know, and, you know, it's a local militia, state militia, you know, over there at Gettysburg. And and it wasn't until the Union were following, it was after the Battle of I can't remember exactly when, somebody out there, I can't remember. But anyways, it was when, you know, Lee wanted to do another run-in, you know, and take the war up to the Northerners, you know, you know, they had caught wind about it, but it was kind of funny because as Lee moved, the Union moved and they were paralleling themselves. The thing that, you know, that separated them was some mountains, right? And this is where, mm-hmm. you know, Lee was like, where's my, you know, where's Jeb Stuart at? You know, where's he at? Where's, you know, where's JEB? You know, he's my eyes and ears of my army, you know, without him, I'm blind, you know? So as the Union is coming up from, you know, Northern Virginia, paralleling, getting there, they know that he was heading north because, you know, what happened at Antietam, you know, in 62. They mm-hmm. knew at some point he was going to try to do it again. So they read him right this time. So that particular meadow where you're at, I can be wrong, but I feel that, you know, the Union that was already there waiting for him, it wasn't the main force. It was like part of the state militia that was happened to be camped in Gettysburg in that particular area right there. So when the battle started and it moves from the seminary down around and goes, swings to the northwest of town and it curls back into, you know, as they were sweeping the Union, you know, from the hill through the town, people that were already garrisoned with the militia pushing them out as well. Yeah, that little field got a lot of attention, you know, because they cleaned it out. So I'm not surprised at all that you picked something up there.
Definitely.
You know, as far as spiritual.
I think that it's one of those that we kind of captured responses that were intelligent, but then also kind of all over the board. It was like, it seemed that we had stumbled across, and I'm not sure how, I'm pretty sure I'd explain it, but, it's my explanation, or terminology might not be correct, but it's like, it seemed like everything that we had come across and spoke to was unaware that they either died, they were unaware of the war ending. It was like they were stuck in that particular time. And I don't believe we talked just to one soldier. I believe it was multiple. Because the voices came through different. I'm not even sure how they manipulate it. They might manipulate it by using different voices. It might be the same person, but it seemed like the stuff that they were saying, it was not necessarily like what they were answering as if it was like ongoing thing. Their time, with the like the stuff that that they said was definitely not.
The vernacular, that they used back in the day, the terminology and the slang. And so let me give you a little, I'm excited about this because let me give, I have a, and you know about it, I've shared it with you, but I have a parallel story that, they don't know they're dead. Okay.
Right.
I experienced this with, I had one of my oldest sister's husband committed suicide in 2005. And 7 years after the fact, I was there at the old place, Now, he had committed murder on the property in an old garage, okay? Not in the house that was still standing there, but in the garage. But to that point, to where, you perceive that they're sounding like, nothing's changed, it's still their time, Well, like I said, this was 7 years after the fact that my brother killed himself, successfully. And it was a done deal. But I got him. It's on my YouTube channel. If people want to listen to it, it's about 10 and a half minutes long. It's called Suicide Victim's Final Words. And that's been up on my channel since 2011. And, in this long, drawn-out message, that I got, and it was, my name's Harvey. And I know how the spirit box works, and I know about this, the continuous scanning, sweeping, and all that stuff. And back where I lived in Iowa, we only had three radio stations to that day, even in 2011 or 12 it was. Okay? Three stations. Mm-hmm. And we had one of them was AM, the other two were FM. And I was scanning AM using my Radio Shack hack, converted, into a full, full-time scanning, Frank box, Mm-hmm. Anyways, so I come in contact with something and we're inside the old house, that he lived in, but he didn't kill himself in. And the house was gutted. There was, no walls. All the walls have been ripped out, all the copper wire taken out, 2 years prior, that getting that far down to demolition. They kept the power to the house. There's nothing there. It's just the house. But when I'm running around, and the reason why I went in there is because I promised one of my younger nephews that when he graduated high school successfully and, doing well, that I would, for a present for me, I would teach him how to use ghost hunting equipment because he knew what I did and he was very interested in it. And he kept me to my promise. So anyways, so I was going to take him out to some other place, where I used to go and get into. We had so many abandoned farm homes, back when I was a kid living back in Iowa. I had my pick, an old, pioneer graveyards, everything, And the graveyards, a lot of the graveyards had been moved. And the one that was in my little town, people look at you funny if you even think about going there without burying somebody. It's kind of like a taboo thing. But anyways, so the only place I could think of was my older sister's house that was in the process of being, demolished. But she had, her husband had built her, had started building her a new house in back of the old property. But he never finished it for obvious reasons. But, his two boys did. They finished it. But anyways. So I am my sister Julie had let nobody, you know, nobody inside there, you know, other than her and her boys. And it was, you know, visited a house was built in 1854, and it was, you know, partially taken down, and she was afraid somebody was going to, something was going to fall. But anyways, so I'm in there, I'm showing him how to use the stuff, you know, getting hits on the Gauss meter, and every time we'd get, it would tank the needle, you know, all the way to over to beyond 10, and then I would swing it away, and there's nothing over there, and I'd swing it back, and there's no reading again until I swing it back the opposite way, and then it tanks past 10 again. You know, and a Gauss meter had that really weird screeching, squealing noise, you know, that you can never turn off. So anyways, so using, you know, I showed him, you know, how to use that. I showed him how to do an EMF sweep, and showed him how to do, you know, a few other things, and you know, use, I bought a little, you know, flip video recorder. He recorded the whole thing. And there's some strange stuff that we captured. But the strangest thing was when I turned on the Radio Shack and, you know, radio, and I'm asking, because he bought the house from this old man, Lester, and he had passed away in the house, but, you know, he was one of those old guys, get off my property, you know, that kind of guy. Nobody liked him in my little town. But anyways, so he bought it after he passed, you know, after Lester passed away, and fixed it up as best he could, raised his family in there. And anyways, first thing I say is Lester, and get nothing. And all of a sudden I said, Mike, are you here? That was my brother-in-law. And all of a sudden you hear Harvey. I just heard my name five times right in a row in the same voice, the very exact same voice. And my nephew, you know, he's unique because he was born deaf, but, you know, when he was 6 years old, he had a cochlear implant put in so he could hear. But he hears via the radio waves, right? So that was freaking him out because he heard it first, you know, because he picked it up first before I got it. And he's like, and he was shaking. And I go, what is wrong with you? And he goes, you know, he couldn't explain it to me. And then I captured what I got on the box. But in this long, drawn-out message, I asked, you know, over this amount of time, do you have any message? And the message was, tell Julie Dear, my sister, and that's what he used to call her when he wanted to be affectionate with her, please don't leave. The day he killed himself was the day that she finally got the guts to leave him.
Wow.
You know, so, yeah, so I totally agree and understand. You know, you're thinking about these people don't know they're dead or they're stuck in their time, you know, on the day that they passed away. I totally agree with that. I think that's a very plausible thing. Okay. So a lot of people ask me, well, why is a ghost stuck? And you just said, you know, before you made that statement, you know, maybe they don't know they're dead, you know, and
right.
I mean, you guys have been doing this for a long time. You know, I'm sure you've encountered, you know, many circumstances of that. And I kind of agree that they just don't know they died. You know,
right.
Now I've always been under the impression that, and I tell my clients this when I do readings and stuff for them, especially when I get into the mediumistic stuff, you know, that our heaven is where we were most happiest. It's not some above the clouds, gold, you know, gold-plated streets and houses, you know, like to tell you in most, you know, Christian religions. But I feel that we go back to a time when we're most happiest, and our body's image reflects that. You know, like my father died, he was 60. And the first dream I had 2 years after he passed away, he looked to be in his early 40s. And that was one decade that he was pretty happy. And then the next time I saw him, about a year later, he was in his 20s. And then the last time I saw him, I didn't recognize him at all. And he was about 17 or 18 years old. I recognized the voice, but when he walked, because I ended up in my grandfather's house, my real mom's dad, my grandpa Harvey, who I'm named after. And I was old as I am, you know, was at the time, like, I don't know, in my don't know, 50-something. Anyways, I'm going, Grandpa, am I dead? He goes, no. He said, I wanted you to meet somebody, a person that you never got to know, that you should have known. And then I hear, it's a hot summer night. It's in the Midwest, and it's hot and muggy. You guys know how there's no air conditioning. Fans are in the windows, and we had the screen door to the front porch. And then I hear a knock on the door. And in my vision, I'm in my grandpa's living room. Now, in a house I'd never been in before, right? Anyways, so I'm sitting down in a chair, and he has this young kid come in, this teenager. And he goes, Harvey, and then all of a sudden, it's funny because I felt embarrassed because my grandfather and I, we said yes at the same time. And the guy's like, who are you? He's looking at me, he goes, who are you? And my grandfather looked at me and waved his hand like, don't say anything. But my grandfather went over and put his arm around my dad. He was about 17, maybe 18. And he goes, see this guy right here? You're going to get to know him real good one day. But he said, Joe, do yourself a favor and think real hard about how your life is right now and how much better it could be by knowing this man over here. He was pointing to me. And I woke up. My pillows were soaked. My eyes hurt. I guess I was crying. But anyways, So the people that, you guys encountered, captured, and there's probably, a conga line of them. It was kind of like it's like you guys were the payphone. There was only one. But everybody had a chance to wait and turn or yell and shout and scream, to get your attention. So you could telephone with them, So I could see that's where that was, could be really, really confusing, but getting... I heard earlier before I came on, when somebody asked, what was his rank, and he said a corporal, a few seconds later, if he was the one that got through, obviously he had the highest senior rank, I guess, at that point, so of course he's going to go first or he's going to come through,
Right.
But so I think you guys are like absolutely on to something.
Based on your story, your interpretation,
right?
It obviously that was not their best time. In the battle, but maybe something that due to all of the negatives that it somehow. I don't know the best way to look at it, but it just seems like it's just, it's like they were, it's like we were walking on an actual like battlefield with this stuff. There,
right.
I stopped counting the helps, and even on replay, I'm guessing like 20, 30 helps or help me. And then we'd ask, what do you need help for? And within like the intelligent responses were crazy. Like the one guy said, I'm dying. And then we went to the creek and they were asking, get my buddy out of the creek. So it was just, super weird.
Right, right. Yeah. So, but you got to think about it. You were, and at least a part of it, especially down by the creek, people are trying to hide. People are trying to run. People are using the creek as cover, as they're trying to, shoot a running battle. Because you got to remember... These guys got kicked out of their camp. They weren't expecting what was happening. So, that happened in Shiloh. That happened, a lot of different battle scenarios. But there for Gettysburg, they had to pick up and run. So some of them, stood, some of them fought. And a lot of them obviously died right in that area. But now here's another thing.
It goes back to me. Thinking just, I think that you have all these stories of people seeing spirits in full attire.
Uniform.
Period attire. But then that would support that, you know, the people that are naysayers, like, well, hey, they wouldn't be seen. They're not still fighting. You know, we've gone out and now we've captured audio that would support the fact that these guys do not know that they have passed. So then in my mind, it would leave a little bit of credibility to the fact that they would be seen wearing their full attire.
So here's another mind-blowing question I've been asked over the years. When people die, why would, you know, after they pass, when people see ghosts, why do ghosts wear clothes? You know, why are they wearing clothes? You know, and that's never been asked. No one's ever asked you that before?
Not that specifically, but we've heard, like, what about the ghosts of dinosaurs? You know, stuff like that.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I've never encountered that, and thank God, because that'd be pretty terrible.
Right.
Especially if they don't think they're dead, you know? So,
yeah.
So think about this. Our mind is everything. Everything that we perceive on a daily basis and take in and store and category and compartmentalize goes through our mind, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so here we are. We are a static electrical being, okay? So a couple of things. You know, a ghost died, and this is weird because one time when I saw my mother, you know, my real mother, you know, shortly after she had passed and she had been buried for several months, she was wearing the clothes that we buried her in when I saw her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Wearing the clothes
right.
that we buried her in, okay? So, and she was already dead, you know, before we chose those clothes. So, but here she ends up, you know, in my dream, you know, wearing the clothes that we buried her in. Now, it could be her memory for me. I don't know. Maybe that's just what I did onto her. But you have to understand this. My relationship with my mother was volatile. It was bad. And why would I think, even give 1 second of thought about my mother and what she's wearing? Right?
Right.
So with that said, when people say, I saw this, you know, and he said, well, I asked him, describe what you saw, you know, and maybe not too much on facial features, but they remember the clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it, you know, you go back in those time periods, and this is what they were wearing. You know, this is what they wore daily, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe after the electricity of our body, our soul, whatever you call it, you know, it is released from this body, it goes with intact memories of everything. So in our mind, we're conditioned to wear clothes from day one of our birth, right? So so hopefully the thing is, you know, my mother and my grandmother used to say, you know, always have a pair of clean underwear on when you go outside. You know, and I'm going, why? Well, you don't know if you're going to get killed and, you know, or you have to go to the hospital. And I'm going, if I get killed at the hospital, do you really think it matters how clean my underwear are? Because I don't think they're going to be clean at all. You know, if it's that bad. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm saying is, this is very long and drawn out, and I apologize. Our minds are so powerful. They form thought forms of memory. So on the other side of the curtain to where the soldiers don't know they're dead, they're still seeing themselves in the same uniform that they put on that morning before they died. Right? People who are killed, you know, at car accidents, whatever, people see them, they have a visitation. Well, what do you remember?
Right.
A lot of times, you know, some of the people who are killed in car accidents and stuff, they appear, you know, very disheveled and beat up. And one woman told me that, you know, her oldest son, unfortunately, was hit by a train in his car. You know, she you know, his clothes were all torn, and but he was wearing the same things that he remembered, you know, that she remembered the last minute that she saw him before he went to school that day, of what he was wearing. And she said it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, her son was a senior, and you know, we're driving home. They lived out in the country, and he had to go around this blind curve over some train tracks that were kind of, you know, they only had the lights. They didn't have the arms that come down. You know, train's coming, ding, ding, ding. Those lights with no arm, right, to prevent people from going over the road. Anyways, so he's hit and killed, and he would always arrive home about 3:45. Well, she's in the kitchen. She's getting dinner ready. 3:45, the door opens. She's talking, welcoming him home, and then she hears the front door close, and then she sticks her head around the corner from the kitchen, looks down the hallway, you know, to relay a message of a phone call or something she had received from grandma or something. And he looked at her, and she noticed that he looked kind of like, God, he looks hurt. And he started walking upstairs, and just as she was saying, God, he looks really hurt, she went running after him, and she gets to the stairs, and there's nothing there. And then, like 10 minutes later, she gets a phone call and a knock at the door. The knock at the door was her neighbor, you know, who was on his way home, was back with the child, you know, in the next car back, watched what happened. And then the telephone call came from the sheriff's department.
Right.
You know, but her son came home. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
right.
Well, my interpretation, though, of what we captured is, like, these guys didn't go home. They're, like, they're stuck in their last memory.
Right.
Like, the last, like, I don't know what time frame, but the last, like, minutes of their death.
Of their existence. Right.
Has to be what they're remembering and where they're trapped in. Like, that loop, like, it's like they don't know they actually died. They think they're still alive, but they're in the moment of what, you know, so are they always stuck in that? Like, I don't know how to really grasp the concept.
Think of it as this. Think of it as a time loop, okay? So they're in their day. I think their conscience on their side, awake, you know, but it's like they fell asleep and they woke back up. They're going, oh, crap, and they're looking around. They don't see the entirety of the massive people that was there. And maybe there's 50 people. Maybe there's 100. And they're all kind of looking at each other. Did something just happen? Right?
Right.
But they don't see modern Gettysburg. They see 1863 Gettysburg. They see in that field. They see in that creek. So the people that are by the creek, they stay in the creek. The people that are were out in the field, they stay in the field. And as you guys already know, thousands of bodies laid uninterred for days, if not weeks, as the people of Gettysburg and the surrounding communities, you know, came out and was burying them because the army just left them. You know, and horses and, you know, even cows were killed, you know, and just things that got in the way, you know.
So right.
These people, I feel, are in that time period. But to me, it's like there's no sound. They know that there was a battle, but they're like, what's going on? And to me, this is how I picture it. You know, fields, the field was probably green and lush because, you know, it's that part of Pennsylvania. Undulating hills, they got the creek down there. That was their water supply. And I see nice little neat rows of dog tents and some Sibleys and, you know, other mess tents and stuff like that, you know, for the regiments. But what they see, I think, there's no tents. It's not, and to me, it's like muted grays, muted whites and grays. You know, it's the landscape. It's kind of misty or smoky, however you want to call it, you know. But it's like when they look at themselves, you know, the Union wore sky blue trousers and a dark navy blue, you know, jacket. So they can see those colors quite plainly, but it's the background that's been muted. They know where they're at, but they're like, where's everybody? And they're looking to the distance because where that field was in relation to where Gettysburg is now, because Gettysburg has grown up and around that field, you know, they could probably see the town in the distance, not too far distance, but, you know, far enough. But they don't leave the area because, A, they haven't been ordered to leave the area, right, because they're good soldiers. And, B, I just think that, you know, they're going, what happened? Well, why is everything so weird? So you guys come along. You're out there. They don't see you necessarily, but they do hear you. So this is why all these voices started, you know, coming through, you know.
Right.
And some of them sounded kind of far away and some of them sounded kind of close, right?
Yeah.
Right? So think about it.
Yeah, it's just
you're looking around, you know, like where this is coming from, and then they're on their side doing the same thing. They hear, but where's this coming from? So as they're talking and shouting and you're asking questions, they're getting kind of in the same area closer, you know, and then they can hear you well. And that's when it really starts coming in, you know, like corporal, you know, help my buddies in the creek, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's so, very specific and very like heat of the battle, you know, oriented communication.
Right.
And, you know,
well,
we just rolled with it.
Yeah. Did you guys pick up any loud bangs or booms?
Motorcycles from the area outside.
Yeah.
That is
well,
the beauty of being outside.
Well, I'm
car doors.
I'm just wondering because I was at, when I was drove on the East Coast and I finally made it to Gettysburg. And that was a couple years before I met you, you know, you guys. Anyways, or I got to know you. I was at Cold Harbor, right? Well, actually, we were at a KOA camping. You know, we had rented an RV, you know, Rent America, those big RV vans, you know, campers.
Mm-hmm.
And we started in Florida and worked our way up, you know, to Washington, D.C. But I stopped at Mechanicsville. I stopped at Chancellorsville. I stopped at Manassas, which is Bull Run.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more we got in, you know, closer to D.C., you know, there was Spotsylvania, but also there was Cold Harbor. You know, and they had two horrific battles there. The first one was bad, but the second one was even worse because there was literally thousands of unburied bodies that had been from the first, you know, from the first battle, you know, still laying about. You know, and I have a bit. I took it was 11:20 at night, and this is way after the 4th of July. It's like July 17th. You would hear, boom, 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 and then smaller, like, you know, but in the distance. Well, that went on for quite some time, and I went out on my trailer. I thought there was somebody who was doing fireworks someplace, right?
Right.
So So I'm outside. There's people across from me setting up their trailers with a big, like, 50-inch flat-screen TV on the side of their trailer. You know, I thought, oh, okay, maybe they're watching some war movie or something. You know, and that's where – nope. They were watching tennis. Okay, so I moved away from them and I walked around the circle, you know, of campers and vans, you know, and just seeing if anybody was lighting fireworks off. But I would hear them in the distance. So I walked out towards the, you know, out of the property onto the road, on the county road. And I don't see anything. Well, as you know, Virginia's got trees all over the place, you know. But I'm looking up in the sky and I'm not seeing any like bursts of anything. Like it could have been a fireworks or, you know, cause I was 6.5 miles to the north and east of Cold Harbor. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now what I found out, and the weirdest thing was, my wife didn't hear it. My daughter Marie didn't hear it. My son didn't hear it, but as I was standing out there in that road looking. This guy come out too. He's going, you know, at first I thought he was the guy that worked there. And he goes, no, I'm camping, but do you hear those booms going off? And I said, yeah. Mm. And I recorded him for over a half hour.
Wow.
You know, on a, for an EVP. Half hour.
Right.
And anyways.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so the next day, as we were checking out, I went to the office and, you know, just kind of, I was like, you know, this is going to sound strange, but, you know, not that I'm complaining, but I'm kind of perplexed for about a half hour last night. You know, I heard these explosions. Like, I mean, it sounded like there were a ways. And I said, was there any car races going on? Was anybody doing any fireworks anyplace? And she said, well, the only people that had permits to do any kind of display was Williamsburg. And she said, and you're 2 weeks too late for that. You know? And I says, well, do people light off illegal fireworks or do their own? Is there a county fair? She's going, I would know that. Because I'd be full, you know, because people camp and go to those things.
Right.
And she goes, why? She said, did you hear them too? And I said, hear what? You know, and she says, she said, for lack of a better word, sound like cannons in the distance. I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, this other guy was here. She said, yeah, I talked to him this morning too. I said, look, it was 3 weeks before the anniversary of that second battle. And she said, as long as she's lived there and in Virginia before, you know, there close to Cold Harbor, around the anniversary time, you know, a couple of weeks before, people would hear mystery, like it sounded like cannon, lack of a better word, and smaller explosions like rifles. And once in a while, people would sound like, who were closer to it, they could hear yelling while all that's going on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, anyways, I put that on my YouTube channel as well. And people are going, oh, that's fireworks and such as that. And people never read the descriptions, you know, under those YouTube videos. They just turn them on, you know, and they ask me the same questions that had already been answered if they had just read the description, you know.
Right.
So I feel with other experiences other than that, and the experience that you guys had yourself, that you've been telling everybody, that there is so much energy is released during those conflagrations, mass conflagrations, you know, and all this emotion is released as well. And it becomes embedded, you know, in the surrounding country. Now, where Gettysburg is and most of Pennsylvania, you know, there's a lot of limestone, which is the mother of, you know, crystals, you know, quartz crystals. So I feel, and a lot of underground springs and running water and all that stuff, I feel that, you know, especially in Gettysburg, you know, it's a natural provider of a lot of natural free-flowing energy, you know, for spirit energies to stay put, you know, and to keep them there, to keep them.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? And I also, a couple of years ago, you can get this map. I can't remember where I got it from, but, you know, it was just a download. But they show you the major ley lines around their entire world. And there is a convergence to the north, almost direct north of Gettysburg by about 5 miles out of town, where two actual ley lines crisscross, you know, make an X. Now, the weird thing is that what's to that area? It's Brandy Station. You know, and that's where the big cavalry battle, Jeb Stuart against George Custer, happened.
Right.
So with the convergence of these ley lines and the either side of the crisscross is almost directly the entirety of the battlefield of Gettysburg. So it's in between those. So, you know, I can't say more than, you know, naturally speaking, that Gettysburg, even if the battle didn't happen there, Gettysburg was something would have triggered something, and Gettysburg would be forever known, you know, as ghost capital of the United States. That's just my opinion. But it is.
We'd have to agree.
Because of what happened. Yeah.
We'd have to agree based on our findings.
Well, and you know, like, I don't know if you listened when you called or I had brought this up earlier in the show, but it's, you know, we went to this location on a whim. We were set to go somewhere else, and it kind of gave us the atmosphere that we were looking for, of like the creepy, you know, nighttime sneaking around,
right.
You know, even though we weren't sneaking
right.
around. But that's
right.
what's, you know, when you're doing live streams and stuff, people like that. You know, they like the scary element. So
right,
you know, we
right,
were just shooting for that and seeing how it was going to come out. And it turned out to be like a really great ghost box session. And I wasn't even expecting that. So I guess it was, it kind of saved the trip, because the trip got kind of goofy. And, you know, with things kind of distracting us and not being able to, you know, go investigate. So I'm glad it happened. And, you know, we're doing the evidence. It looks like we'll be able to even post more. And,
that's
you
great.
Know, maybe everything was lined up for a reason.
Well, and you just might have, I mean, I don't know, you guys, you know, the purveyors of the you know, ghost hunting back there, and you got Gettysburg Paranormal, all that stuff. Has anybody ever, besides you guys, been out to that parcel and did even a half-assed investigation, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, has anybody been out
like
there?
The half-assed ones, for sure.
Right.
But you know, as for like,
yeah,
you know, just
an actual
just the
like
two of us
thorough
going
investigation.
Right,
no.
right.
Yeah, no, and I wouldn't mind doing more.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
if we can always get back in there, and
yeah, I know somebody.
You know, it, a lot of the stuff is, you know, staged. Mm. So it's not like, you know, but it's staged where it looks like it's a little, you know,
it's basically made to look as though it was like a Civil
period.
War encampment during the actual battle. Yeah.
Right.
It's rough around
well,
the edges still right now, but yeah.
Right. So, but you got to remember though, I mean, even that could be a trigger object, you know?
For sure.
Just,
definitely.
Just, yeah. Cause I used to do American Civil War reenacting out here in California. And the only back east event, and that's huge back east. And I know that for a fact, even to this day. As a matter of fact, several of my friends that I reenact with from out here, they had a part in Glory and Gettysburg, you know, or, you know, originally it was going to be called The Killer Angels, you know, from the book. But they're in the movie, you know. They're reenactors. Is they hired the reenactors because A, they didn't have to train them. B, they didn't have to put any kind of uniform on them, you know, because they brought everything, and they gleefully
right.
camped out like we always do, right? So think about it. You know, you have something like that going on, and you know, and it talk about a trigger thing happening. Yeah, I can just imagine. Now, I was in a 128th anniversary of the Battle of Stones River in Tennessee. Now, for obvious reasons, they don't allow people to reenact on the actual battlefields, you know, because it's sacred ground and all that stuff. But we were 20 miles to the northeast in a little town called Smyrna, Tennessee, and which is right on Stones River still. And there was about 14,000 of us there reenacting that battle. And I have to tell you, there was some stuff happening, you know, where we were camping at. You know, the horses were skittish all the time, and people were seeing shadows coming from the cedar trees. And like going, who's that? Nobody's supposed to be out there, you know. And we had some stuff that we found out when we got back to California, that part of, you know, of the Battle Stones River, you know, it, you know, it was 3 days, but it kind of drug on for a few extra days, and because it headed to the north and to the east, and included that little bit of Smyrna, Tennessee, you know, and where we were camped at on a farm of 2,000 acres was right smack dab on that. They would have called it a skirmish battle as opposed to a major battle. And this is private property. So there are some weird things happening. I mean, a matter of fact, for one of my grown friend guys, Mr. Macho, you know, he was scared to death because something kept pushing him. And he didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and it scared him so much, he ended up, he didn't stay. He went home.
Wow.
You know, yeah, I mean, well, we were portraying Yankees, you know. And everybody else, it was weird because there was more Confederates there than there was in the actual battle, you know. And but I'm just saying, so many people like, you know, dressing up like Confederates, but whatever.
Right.
Because we all know who historically won the battle in the long run, you know. So but anyways, yeah, so sometimes, you know, just by representing, like what you're telling me, you know, is a really good lure or key, you know, or, you know, something to spark the attention, you know, to give,
right,
to give energy to, yeah. I mean, even you.
Or maybe we'll have to get dressed up in full garb from the time period next time we do an investigation there.
Well, I wouldn't, Rob, you know, I have a complete Union uniform. I can send it to you if you want to dress up, you know, or I'm sure you can rent it from someplace.
I know people for that too.
Yeah. Or just have a couple
of
people.
If you
want to
do it, I can work this out for you.
You might be amazed what you could literally scare up because of it.
I would just
it might be a look I don't know now that I would I'd like, but
you don't want to rock wool?
It might be something that I don't know. It might be like something that you know something that you don't want to do, but then you do it and you're like, oh my god, this is awesome.
Right,
maybe
right.
That would be the case. It just would be my new thing. Like I would wear that on
every
investigation,
day.
Even like when we go to prison.
You just wear it all the time.
It's not even related. Yes.
Be going to do a real
right.
estate deal wearing your
open
your
houses
outfit.
On Sunday.
That would be...
You're going,
wow. People
yeah,
be like,
just,
this
just
guy
hire...
claims he's the agent,
oh,
but
listen.
I don't know.
or just hire somebody just to stand in there and look kind of creepy, but don't say anything or interact. And somebody comes up, what's this soldier doing here? And you go, what soldier?
Right. I don't know what you're talking about. There's no one here.
Yeah, I don't know. The funny thing is I did that on a live stream a couple weeks ago to one of the psychics we have call in every so often, Joni. There was a coffin with a guy in a coffin, and I told her it was really not a guy with the coffin. And she thought she someone was seeing, you know, in her mind, the guy laying
wait
in the coffin
minute.
On the
what?
Table. And I'm like, no one's here. And then I forgot
wow.
that I did that. And when she brought it up on air, we brought her up and do like a post-wrap-up interview. And she's like, and then I saw that guy at the table. I was like, oh, crap. I knew I forgot to tell her that there really was a guy there. Like it was a mannequin.
Well, a wax guy, yeah.
A wax guy, yeah. You know,
yeah,
I get on my
that's
roles
normal,
being,
too.
Yeah.
Right.
But unfortunately, it looks like the show's – our time is done. So we have to, you know, wrap it up, and
oh,
it's always good to talk history. I think when we go back, that we might have the one thing that I did kind of I regret, and now that I think about it, now I regret tons of stuff. So it's not just one thing. it would be smart to have, you know, someone with your knowledge and interest in the paranormal join us, even via. Satellite, which I always call it via satellite because I find it funny.
He thinks
but,
it
you know,
sounds
just,
more special.
Zoom, it does. It sounds better. It sounds like 1980s or 90s. You know, you have someone via satellite, not on Zoom.
There
but
you go.
Anyway, you know, one thing that we've found, and one thing that's true, is that a lot of people who are history buffs, especially in that time, you know, Civil War, are not necessarily paranormal investigators or have an interest in the paranormal.
Right.
So to get somebody who, you know, you are kind of double dipping in both, you know, while we're running the spirit box or we're having, you know, names come through, we don't necessarily know the key players. I mean, we know some of the key players, but not all of them.
I don't know the depth that you do.
Right.
Yeah, I know way more than we do. I mean, I know a lot, but like, I don't know them all. So
I know they said, I have one that they said Lincoln. That much I could figure out. You know, like that was a good one. Like I was like Lincoln. You know, I got Lincoln. Outside of, you know, some of the obvious ones, you know, it would be cool to have, you know, just you as a reference point there, not just as a, you know, for as being psychic, but as just the general knowledge of the names that might be coming through, like, or some of the terminology, even.
Yeah.
Yeah, the terminology.
Well,
so I think
yeah, I mean, the terminology.
That would
yeah,
be cool.
I do it all. I did reenacting for over 7 years, and we were pretty strict to the Hardy Manual of Arms. It was a book written about, you know, just by this this officer. His name was Hardy, is the last name, and both the North and South, you know, followed it and used it, you know, to turn civilians into soldiers, you know, and get them up to speed with manual arms and stuff like that, you know. So, yeah, I got pretty well versed in it. You know, I know the drills. I know, you know, how they form companies, what, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. That would be really cool.
Even after,
then.
Yeah. I mean, I should put my stuff on, and I'll do it. You know what? I don't have to. I have pictures. I'll send you a picture of what I looked like back in the day when I was Civil War reacting.
There you go. Maybe we can use that as a
That's
trigger.
What, I just figured out what we can do is when we call you via satellite, you could be wearing it.
I could stream it on. I have one of those inflatable screens, so we could stream you wearing it into the to the camp. Brings the atmosphere, you know, you're in the atmosphere.
Yeah, right. Now, mind you, the highest I ever got was a corporal, you know, when I was doing this. But, yeah, I've always portrayed just a private, you know, so. But I
got
it all. That's
fine. We love it.
My rifle, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. That's what we'll do.
That's the plan.
Sounds good.
You know,
we'll have to give you a little more notice than we usually do.
You know, I have that screen as well. I wonder if we, like, played the movie while we were investigating, played it, then investigated. You know, there's a lot of options there. Yeah.
I mean, I do have the movie. I've got many, many copies of it. I just re-upped my stock.
It's been in my car for months. But anyway, we'll brainstorm off air because we really have to end the show. So, you know, we'll put all your
thank you for joining us
and stuff, and we appreciate you.
Well, it's been a while,
right?
You know,
and we'll talk soon.
And it's always good, you know, hanging with you guys. So,
hopefully,
we'll be able to do it in person someday.
That would be so awesome.
It would.
Yeah, you'll have
a real
Harvey. To Gettysburg.
Yeah. A real Harvey.
Well,
I'm so excited.
But you have to wear the uniform.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any problem wearing it. Well, the only problem was, does it still fit? Now, that I don't know. This was back in the early 90s when I did it.
Oh, boy.
I got faith in you.
Yeah. And I don't think I have a 90s body anymore. But we'll see.
You know, you got time.
Yeah, we'll see.
You go.
So
we'll give you a little.
So you know what I'm going to do? After we get off the air, I'm going to send you both a couple pictures of me when I did, you know, so you can see, you know, that I did it. So it was fun.
Awesome.
Well, thanks again for joining us, and we will talk to you soon. So we'll probably be doing that next week. So, you know, we'll definitely get you involved.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you. All right. Talk to you soon.
Alrighty. Peace out, guys.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, they gave us some ideas at least.
Yeah, for sure.
We can
I like it.
We can stream the stream of him streaming it.
Stream the stream must stream. Near the stream.
Yes. Near the stream. We can put the stream by the actual stream.
Mm-hmm.
And then stream that.
Might be a lot of streams involved there.
It is. It's not, I gotta use that word now more than
I'm already confused. I'm lost.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. No, that would be a good idea.
Hopefully you won't die and get stuck in a time loop.
Yeah.
Like those guys.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound
if
fun.
If I die there. No, and if I die there, like, oh, never get to leave work.
I wonder if you die in Gettysburg, like, if it's any different. Like, you get to see all the soldiers and stuff.
I'm not sure how that works.
I'm still kind of intrigued by the fact that it was almost like we were back in time with that investigation.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
You know, we've investigated back there before. We've never got like a ton of like.
Well, we've never really got to do it for a length of time either, because it was usually a time frame thing. So we never really had the opportunity. Well, I mean, we had the opportunity. I guess we never just jumped on the opportunity to explore it like we did that day. No. Nope. But now,
and
now
it all boiled down to the fact that it was about 25 feet from my car. That was like the deciding factor. And then, you know, we had a guest with us, and she was into investigating, and I think she kind of like pushed us to do it because I kept saying, you know, it's up to you. And she's like,
yeah,
well,
I don't
know,
think we
would have
done it if
go,
she didn't want to do it. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure not. So she's the
shout
the
out
driving
to Audrey
force behind the,
for
behind
being
the Bible
force
video
for the
captured
awesome finding. Audrey Rock.
Yeah, that's a pretty
she
good finding.
I tell her all
so
the time. Yeah, it was pretty good. So.
No,
oh, I'm excited. Definitely to do it again.
Yeah, I sent you a photo, and I think the video's already gotten 27,000 likes. Not just views, just likes.
Mm-hmm.
So that
wow
was pretty decent.
Yeah, definitely. Very
and,
cool.
And, you know, we definitely exceed the, you know, the 2% like ratio. I think it's at like 8%, so people actually do like it.
And that's always rewarding. That's good. Good stuff.
Yeah, so thanks for joining us, and maybe next Tuesday we'll be live from somewhere else.
You never know. Could happen.
No.
No, I don't know.
Right.
But
we'll
I do know that I need to. We need to get off air so I can go to bed so I can go to work again tomorrow. Play
right
with my ghost friend.
Well, I think we talked earlier, but Tuesday may be a possibility for a live stream, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So keep your, alerts on to know. There you go.
That's it. Eyes open.
Yep. Eyes open, alerts on,
right,
notifications set to make sounds or whatever.
Yeah, all right, sounds good. Well,
I will
talk to you later, and we'll see everyone next week.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
All right, bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.